Oh, good, we got six, too. And seven, my goodness. Okay, everybody's here. Resource Committee is convened. We have Representatives Guttenberg, Edgman, Seaton, Kawasaki, Roses, Co-Chair Johnson, Co-Chair Gatto. Representative Coring has indicated he will be late. Before us today, and will be several things. The first thing we will be hearing is committee substitute for Senate Bill 121, cruise ship discharge and information, followed by House Bill 128. So, Senator, would you mind identifying yourself and your affiliation?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name's Kim Elton. I'm a senator for District B. I hope my hometown mayor of Juneau has been treating everybody well. I'm going to be relatively brief, Mr. Chair. This, and I'm not going to reiterate what's on the sponsor statement. The bill itself is pretty straightforward. First, this bill simply restores the alternate compliance discharge protocols that were codified by the legislature in 2004 in House Bill 522. For those of you who were here, you'll remember that that provided the alternate compliance for small cruise ships. The best examples are the Cruise West and the Lindblad ships, which have ranging from 78 up to the mid-100 passenger level. The legislature did that in House Bill 522 because the size of the ships precluded the protocols that were being applied to the larger cruise ships. The bill, when we addressed this problem in 2004, passed the House unanimously, passed the Senate unanimously. We're having to do this again, unfortunately, through kind of a simple oversight. Passage of the Cruise Ship Initiative last year inadvertently repealed the section that was changed by House Bill 522. That's not the fault of the sponsors. The sponsors had already gotten their petition booklets, had the language codified for the initiative. We just failed to check that language at the time that House Bill 522 became a twinkle in the eyes of the legislature. So it wasn't, I want to emphasize, it wasn't the fault of the sponsors.
Do we have a definition of cruise ships?
I'm sure we do. We do have in this bill.
It includes these 100-footers and even shorter.
This, in fact, I think this bill, and I'm going to look over my shoulder, this bill defines small cruise ship.
Wonderful. Okay.
In section... I'm looking at my brain.
It's a good fix.
Okay. Yeah.
To clarify what we mean by the word cruise ship. We have an image in our mind of a cruise ship, the way we have an image in our mind of a tank.
Yes.
And it's usually an M1A1 Abrams tank.
And this is defined. And, in fact, the one change that occurred on the Senate side, the one substantive change, is we added small cruise ship to the title, just so that everybody understood that we were talking about one class of cruise ships.
Okay.
The other thing that I'd like to the only two other points that I'd like to make, Mr. Chair. One is the sponsors of the initiative have absolutely no problem with this bill. They recognize what happened. They understand the circumstances of the small cruise ships. And the second thing I'd like to emphasize is, as in House Bill 522, the original bill, the provisions of these alternate protocols for small cruise ships go away in 2016. That's the provision that we added in 2004, with the assumption that technology is going to get better and the alternate compliance protocols, as outlined here, may not be needed by 2016. With that, Mr. Chair, I'll try and answer any questions that I can.
And I have the letter. I'll have a copy of number one. Is there an objection to conceptual amendment number one?
Mr. Chairman, I object just to have the sponsor explain the reasoning behind it so that it can be on the record, please.
Okay. Conrad?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, again, Conrad Jackson, staff to Representative Kurt Olson. To start with, it's titled Conceptual Amendment 1 merely because it's not actually drafted and in form from Ledge Legal. It's actually totally plagiarized from the amendment that was introduced and passed in Senate Resources to SB 80. So the language is all there. It's just not, it doesn't have Don Bullock's stamp on the top corner. The reason for including PISIO and removing AOGCC is, as Representative Seaton said, it puts the folks that are really right there on the front line and tasked with oversight of the maintenance of facilities and equipment and infrastructure in the consultation group.
And John Norman, the chair of AEOGCC, says this is a great idea.
His, yes, attached to the back of the amendment is an email that he sent to me that said the
I would too if I were the chair.
And improve the bill. And also attached to that for the members at some point to take a look at it is the Administrative Order 234 that sets up the PSIO.
Okay. So is the objection maintained?
It is not.
The objection is withdrawn. Is there another objection? Seeing and hearing none, amendment number one is adopted. Now move to conceptual amendment number two, which is a great deal longer. We have conceptual amendment number two. Somebody want to move it? Representative Seaton?
Mr. Chairman, I move conceptual amendment number two.
And I'll object.
Object for discussion by Representative Johnson. Representative Seaton, comments or
thank you, Mr.
Conrad.
Chairman. Yeah, I kind of understand some of the definition here, but improper maintenance is defined as maintenance not consistent with good oil field practice, but good oil field practice is not limited to the design, construction, testing, and operation. So I'm trying to find out from the sponsor, do the items in good oil field practice, design, construction, testing, and operation, are those included in this definition of improper maintenance?
Through the chair, Representative Seaton. The improper maintenance is obviously referring to maintenance that does not apply. The word design may not be appropriate to be in there, since design is obviously a little before maintenance, actual cleaning up an issue. Again, we titled this conceptual amendment number two. It hasn't been blessed by Ledge Legal. There are some terms that are potentially needing to be added in, or actually in this case probably design should be taken out. That was just missed. The amendment was actually the definition was put together using a couple of sources, part of which are attached to the back, a memo from Ledge Legal from Don Bullock, and some quotes from the language that's actually in the amendment that was just adopted describing PSIO, as well as information from the Manual of Oil and Gas Terms and the Dictionary of Petroleum Exploration, Drilling, and Production.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Seaton.
So would you take a look there then at page one, line eight, and would the sponsor be in favor of eliminating the comma and then but is not limited to the design, construction, testing, operating, and removing that the rest of that sentence after including, so that the way that would read then is good oil field practices is defined as a practice that is generally accepted to be good, safe, and efficient in carrying out oil field operations, including maintaining of production, processing, transportation facilities and equipment consistent with the standards of API, etc.
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, I guess my only concern with that would be eliminating the words but not limited to. Our concern that I've heard repeatedly from Ledge Legal is the definition needs to be obviously place some sideboards, that's the idea, but not be so focused that anything that's outside of that, any new advances, are discluded.
You know, we had Mr. Bullock in here, and I asked to put an amendment in the words, but not limited to, and he said, I prefer not to, that it's implied, and but not limited to is completely unnecessary.
Okay.
And I was going to make an amendment to the amendment to just strike, but is not limited to, and then make some grammatical changes so that the sentence agreed with its tense. Representative Wilson?
Thank you. I think testing and operating should be in there because part of operating is making sure that there aren't like corrosion problems and things like that, isn't it? I mean, isn't that part of operating it also? And also testing would be testing like a, what, putting a pig through it or something? Wouldn't that be kind of testing it out or something? I don't know.
Representative Seaton?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and for the sponsor. I'm trying to figure out if you're having any sideboards on maintenance or you're not. Is maintenance now operations? So that if you don't operate it correctly, you're now including that in improper maintenance? Or are you meaning maintenance, maintaining production, processing, transportation facilities and equipment? Or do you want to expand that definition to be the operation of the pipeline? And
through the chair, Representative Seaton, the only, I guess, the only reason that operating would be in there is, as I think Representative Wilson was alluding to, part of the operations would be the maintenance, the testing, the pigging of a line. That would be considered part of the operating operating of a pipeline or of a facility.
Conrad, this definition was copied from a manual or or made up by collecting several manuals?
Representative Gotta, Mr. Chairman, it was actually a number of things put together to form that, again, in an attempt to be reasonably broad. We wanted to make sure that a reference to the PSIO group was in there, since they're going to be determining what is some of the good oil field practices.
This is your work. You drafted this, I guess, is all I'm after. Thank you. Any other questions? Representative Guttenberg?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Looking at it, I would feel that I was in favor of the but not limited to dialogue, because it looks to me like we're including the API and the ASTM federal regulations and the PSIO person, not knowing at this point if there's anything that any one of those things that is all inclusive here. And I don't know if each one of those things represent just one segment of operations and maintenance or just testing and materials. And I know the PSIO is going to do what we've been calling the gap analysis. I certainly wouldn't want to see anything else further fall through a gap analysis or fall through and not be covered, but having but not limited to covers things that are not foreseeable. So I would be in favor of leaving that language.
Okay. We have an amendment before us.
Mr. Chairman, I'll go ahead and offer we were discussing, but I'll go ahead and offer the amendment to
the amendment.
To the amendment to delete on line 8 the comma and everything but through and at the end of that sentence.
So the comma following including?
That's right.
And then striking but is not limited to design, construction, testing, operation, and maintenance until where?
Just the and. So it would be including maintaining of production, processing, transportation facilities, and equipment.
So, if I may, on line 8, the only thing that would be left would be including and the word and.
No, the word and would leave.
The word and would leave. It's just the word including, and I'll object to that. Because that's an amendment to the amendment, and we can't do any on top of this, so we have to either accept or reject this amendment to the amendment. And there is an objection, so without seeing other testimony, Madam Clerk.
The amendment, the conceptual amendment 2?
Correct.
Representative Seaton?
Yes.
Representative Roses?
Yes.
Representative Guttenberg?
No.
Representative Edgman?
No.
Representative Kawasaki?
No.
Representative Coring is absent. Representative Wilson?
No.
Representative Johnson?
Yes.
Representative Gatto?
No.
Three yeas, Point of order.
I think that's...
Can you order, can you have another amendment to the amendment since that one failed?
Once this has failed, we still have the amendment before us. And by the way, just under the rules, a majority of those present will determine the passage or failure of an amendment. A majority of the membership on the committee, which would be five, is required to pass the bill from committee. But we're dealing with amendments. So amendment to amendment number two has failed to be adopted. We're now back to the amendment and conceptual amendment number two. And is there an amendment to conceptual amendment number two? Representative Wilson.
And I amend the conceptual amendment number two with amendment number two to leave everything in line eight except the design and construction.
Okay, the objection, is there an objection? I'll object. Madam Clerk, got a sharp pencil?
Mr. Chairman, would you speak to your objection and maybe explain to me why that someone should be held accountable for a design that maybe was designed 30 years ago or more?
Well, I had a different amendment to the amendment that I was thinking of, and in order to get to that, I wanted to get to it by not having this amendment interfere with it.
Mr. Chairman, that makes it very difficult for me not to support this amendment, not knowing what your amendment to this amendment was.
Well, if the amendment passes, then I'm not probably going to offer mine.
That's a good one.
So, okay. Madam Clerk?
Simple.
This is the second try at the amendment to the amendment to amendment number, conceptual amendment number two.
Amendment two to conceptual amendment two.
Good.
Representative Roses?
Yes.
Representative Guttenberg?
Yes.
Representative Edgman?
Yes.
Representative Kawasaki?
Yes.
Representative Coring is absent. Representative Wilson?
Yes.
Representative Seaton?
Yes.
Co-Chair Johnson?
Yes.
Co-Chair Gatto?
No.
I want to hear your amendment anyway.
It's too late now. It's drowned. Okay. Representative Wilson, go ahead and repeat that one more time so I can mark up my copy.
Okay. Line 8, everything is in line 8 except the design and the words the design, comma, construction.
All right. Stricken. So, amendment to the amendment number 2 to the amendment is adopted.
I just want to point out there, you just need to add the second comma after construction so that there's
it's already after two.
Yeah, you want to take the one out after construction is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't
know. There's already, yeah.
This
otherwise,
is conceptual, don't right. take care of it.
We have two commas, correct,
yeah.
And it's conceptual. Other, so now we've passed that. We're back to conceptual amendment number two.
As amended.
As amended, thank you very much. Representative Seaton?
I had a question for the sponsor then. So, as you read the amendment and your intention behind the amendment, is it now to that improper maintenance is going to be safe, efficient, good practices of testing, operation, maintenance, of production, processing, and transportation facilities and equipment. Are all of those things now defined as improper maintenance?
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, not following those good, safe, and efficient practices of testing, operating, of production, yes.